Praise the Lord. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. I want to talk to you today about true freedom. True freedom. I'm all here today. My wife just told me to take my mask off coming up here, and then I go to head and start talking with my mask on. I'm in good shape this morning. Amen. Amen. Appreciate everyone that's here. Good to see you.
Amen. Good to see you, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 5, and let me just read verse 1, and this is out of the New Living Translation. It says this, "So Christ has truly set us free." Do you believe that, folks?
Amen.
Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free. Make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. Let's pray together. Father, I just want to praise your holy name and thank you for today. And thank you for this church, Lord God, members of this church, and Lord, the faithfulness of the members. And Lord, let this day, let us just rejoice in this day as we think about the birthday of America, the freedom that we have here in America. Lord, what a wonderful place to live. We had nothing to do with the idea that we're living here, Lord. You placed us here. And what a blessing that has been. And Lord, we thank you for the freedom each one of us has enjoyed growing up and living in this country. Thank you for allowing us to live in this community filled with loving people, Christian people. And we just thank you for this time we have together. Just touch our spirits and our minds, Lord God, with your word and with your love today. And I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, happy birthday, America.
Amen.
I hope, I don't know what's happened to my voice, but it just disappeared here. I was trying to. I hope each of you had a little celebration yesterday for the 4th, and maybe some of you were able to spend time with family members. That's a rare treat nowadays to get together. And I don't know about you, but I certainly miss people. I really do. I miss being able to shake hands and hug them and pat them on the back and bumping elbows just doesn't make it for me. I mean, that just doesn't do it. What is your mental picture of freedom? On this Sunday following the 4th, maybe freedom conjures up images of our flag. We did the pledge this morning, and we can see in our mind's eye Old Glory waving in the wind. I put our flag out in front of the house yesterday, and the wind was blowing, and it was beautiful just to see the way that thing, I don't know what the terminology is, but it flows and ripples, that's good, in the wind. And maybe you see something like that. Maybe you see the picture of the Marines hoisting the flag on Iwo Jima. Maybe you think about our military personnel in the Mideast and all around the world right now keeping us free. And maybe you see the founding fathers as they signed the Constitution or the Declaration of Independence. Or I had a picture that I gave away. I don't know who has it, but it was of the first Congress on their knees praying. You have that, Kathleen?
So.
A beautiful picture. Maybe you think about things like that as freedom. And then there's fireworks last night. It was terrible around my house. Maybe yours too. And they just kept doing it. I kept telling my dog got real nervous, and I kept telling it, they'll run out of money before too long here and quit this. But they didn't. I think where one stopped, the other one picked up, and we had fireworks all over the place. But all these things remind us of this word we call freedom.
Amen.
Freedom. Before I continue talking about that, I want to share a little story with you. In the fall of 1988, the presidential campaign was in full swing. But instead of the news focusing on Bush and Dukakis, the nation's attention was on Bonnet and Crosbeak, who were two California whales. These two whales had waited too long to return into the ocean, and now the Arctic ice was closing in on them and they were becoming trapped. The Eskimos that lived around there tried their best to break away to get them out of there. One Eskimo, one of the senior citizens of the area there, became friends with the whales and even would pet them in the holes in the ice. Volunteers came, National Guard helicopters with big, huge rocks or weights, and they'd try to break the ice to get them out. Volunteers with six-foot chainsaws and de-icing equipment came and tried to get them out, but the ice would keep forming as quick as they would break it up. And finally, two Soviet icebreakers that were at the beginning of this, about 300 miles away, came. And they broke through the ice, but it froze again before the whales could get out. So they did it again and broke through the ice. And finally, these whales were released to swim back into the ocean. And the world celebrated as these two whales got their freedom back. Amen? Amen? Freedom is precious to everyone, including whales. We like our freedom. So yesterday we celebrated the freedom that's ours as citizens of the United States, a nation that was founded on freedom, a freedom that was purchased by the blood of many who fought and died so that we might be free. And it's right and proper, folks. I think it's become too small a celebration, but it's right and proper that we celebrate the birthday of America.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
How much more should we celebrate the freedom that's ours as the citizens of heaven?
Yes.
Freedom that was purchased by the blood of one who died so that we might all be free, our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In this part of Galatians, in these few chapters here in the middle of Galatians, Paul starts arguing about the freedom, about freedom for the Galatian Christians. He sees them trapped in the icy grip of legalism as they tried to approach God and earn his favor by keeping the law. Paul was working as diligently as those Eskimos did, freeing the whales, but he was trying to convince the Galatians of their freedom in Christ. In this portion of Galatians, the Judaizers were insisting that Christians still needed to keep the original law. Paul wanted desperately for these Galatians to realize that the Judaizers were entrapping them into legalism. He knew that no attempt or act of religious service could save them, only Jesus. Paul knew firsthand what it felt like to be totally free from religion. And he wanted the Galatians to experience the same true freedom as children of God. True spiritual freedom is still available to you and me, and it's still offered to anyone who comes to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
True freedom doesn't mean you're free to sin, but you are free to serve. True freedom doesn't mean you're free to rebel, but you're free to revel in the wonder of abundant eternal life. True freedom doesn't mean you're free to be wicked, but you're free to be a worshiper. True freedom doesn't mean you're free to do things that are wrong, but you are free to do things that are right, bringing honor and glory to God. And true freedom doesn't mean you are free to do evil, but you're free to help others know God and experience spiritual freedom. Warren Wiersbe, who's an American pastor, Bible teacher, conference speaker, a prolific writer of books, and he said this: legalists in our churches today warn that we dare not teach people about the freedom we have in Christ, lest it result in religious anarchy. But to Christians who live by faith, it is not going to become a rebel. Quite the contrary. He's going to experience the inner discipline that is far better than the outer discipline of man-made rules. Amen. Legalists are afraid of teaching others about God's grace, about the fact that we are no longer required to live under the weight of a heavy set of rules and regulations.
Thank you, Lord.
They are afraid that if we tell folks about God's grace and true freedom that accompanies it, they will go out and live any way they want and forget about God. Legalists become so concerned with changing a person's outward behavior that they forget about the inner change that must occur before an outward behavior actually takes place.
Right.
The Lord spoke to Isaiah about this very thing when he said in chapter 29, verse 13, he said, And so the Lord says, these people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, which is the outer behavior, but their hearts are far from me, which is their inner spiritual condition. And their worship of me is nothing but man-made rules learned by rote. Salvation by grace through faith in Jesus alone brings true freedom to our lives.
Amen.
Trying to earn our salvation by our good works and the keeping of the law will bring total bondage to our lives. And any attempt to earn God's approval by our good works will ultimately keep us enslaved. It is only as we live by faith in God's grace that we can truly know spiritual freedom. Hallelujah. Author Jerry Bridges made this statement: your worst days are never so bad that you are beyond the reach of God's grace. And your best days are never so good that you are beyond the need of God's grace.
Yes.
Hallelujah. I love that. All right. There are two aspects of true freedom that I want us to consider today. Number one is true freedom fulfills God's promises. True freedom fulfills God's promises. Let's look at Galatians. Open your Bible back to Galatians chapter 5 there. Let's look at some of these verses right around here, around that address. Okay? Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28 says this: now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. You and I are a child of promise. Amen. Amen.
Right.
Amen. Amen. In the next part, or the previous part, chapter 4, verse 21 through 27, tells us about Ishmael and Isaac. They were both sons of Abraham, yet vastly different. Let's read those few scriptures. Verse 21, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. Verse 27, for it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you who are not in labor, for the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. And then verse 28 again, and now, brethren, we as Isaac are children of promise. All right, Ishmael was born to a slave woman, an Egyptian maidservant named Hagar. That was all in Genesis chapter 16, if you want to read it. Hagar was a slave. She was a slave. Ishmael's birth was a result of Abraham and his wife Sarah lacking faith, not totally trusting and believing God. Since it had been so long since God's promise to Abraham and Sarah that they would have a son, Sarah convinced Abraham that he should sleep with her maidservant. In Galatians chapter 4, the first part of verse 23, it says, Ishmael was born according to the flesh. Abraham slept with Hagar, resulting in her pregnancy and the birth of Ishmael. Verse 23a says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. Later, Isaac was born to Abraham's wife, Sarah, because God had promised that he would give them a child. That's in Genesis chapter 15. Sarah was a free woman.
Yes.
She was a free woman. Isaac was born to the free woman through promise. Look at verse last half of verse 23. And he of the free woman through promise. In this text, Hagar represents the old covenant between God and man, the covenant of law and legalism. Children of Hagar are children of the law, and they are in slavery. The law has always enslaved people because it says, do this and don't do that. Amen? Those who believe in legalism must do exactly what the law requires if they are to find favor with God. The person who hopes to gain salvation by their own good works, their own morality and virtue, their own righteousness, is enslaved to the law because he or she must do everything the law says. Hallelujah. Come on. You cannot mess up even once.
That's right.
On a minor point.
Right.
In James chapter 2, verse 10, it says, for whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all.
Amen?
Amen? Now, let me make that statement again. The person who hopes to gain salvation by their own good works, their own morality and virtue, their own righteousness, is enslaved to the law because he or she must do everything the law says. We can see evidence of this slavery everywhere. Everywhere. Especially in the Mideast. The descendants of Ishmael, the son of the flesh, make up the Muslim religion.
Pastor author John MacArthur tells us, it was between the sons of Hagar and Sarah that the modern-day Arab-Israeli animosity began some 4,000 years ago, producing a continual conflict between two peoples who both traced their lineage from Abraham. Galatians 4:29 reminds us that there will always be a conflict between the two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Look at verse 29. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Go home, turn on the news, and you'll see this conflict continuing at this moment. Amen? Sarah represents the new covenant between God and man.
Thank you, Lord.
The covenant of God's promise.
Thank you, Lord.
The covenant of his grace given freely to man through his own son, Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. The children of Sarah, who represent children of grace, receive the eternal life that God promised to those who come to him through faith. Those who come to God solely on the basis of his grace receive the promise that Jesus' righteousness will be credited to them. Consider all the promises that are fulfilled to those who have been set free, those who have accepted Jesus by grace through faith. Consider these: the promise of eternal life, the promise of power every day, the promise of God's wisdom for our lives, the promise of the Holy Spirit to keep us, teach us, convict us, empower us. The promise of answered prayer. The promise of fellowship with fellow believers in the body of Christ. That thing we're all hungry for right now, and we will get it back. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So first of all, true freedom fulfills God's promises.
Hallelujah.
True freedom fulfills God's promises. Secondly, true freedom is a precious possession. True freedom is a precious possession. Back to chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Why do so many people get a lump in their throat and a tear in their eye when they say the Pledge of Allegiance or sing the national anthem? Could it be because our freedom as U.S. citizens is a precious possession? Amen. So many other people and so many other places in the world live without the freedoms that we openly enjoy in this country. Unfortunately, with our freedom, you can make wrong choices. You are free to gamble. You are free to get an abortion. You are free to purchase pornography. You are free to purchase alcohol, consume it. You are free to live with someone of the opposite sex and not be married. You are free to practice a homosexual lifestyle. I doubt our founding fathers had these thoughts in mind when they signed the Declaration of Independence or when they crafted our Constitution. But far too many take a casual view of freedom and abuse it. The same can be true in our spiritual lives as well. We can take a casual view of our spiritual freedom and abuse it. There's nothing more precious in this life than our spiritual freedom.
Amen.
There is nothing more precious in this life than our spiritual freedom.
Yes.
Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 that we just read out of the New King James Version, the NIV says it this way: it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Amen. Listen to what Jesus did for you and me so that we could be set free. Paul shared this in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 8. He said this, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Verse 6, "Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." Verse 7, "But made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men." Verse 8, "And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." And yet so many Christians will abuse their spiritual freedom by deliberately, intentionally, willingly going against God's will and choice for their life. Why would we choose to endanger ourselves, our families, our witness, and our church with such behavior? Jerry Bridges is also quoted as saying, "Turning our Christian liberty into a license to sin is an evil that is ingrained in sinful human nature."
That's right.
But that sinful human nature should be dead. Let me tell you a story of a state trooper in Michigan. He clocked a speeder at 75 in a 45-mile-an-hour zone. The trooper pursued him and brought the driver to a halt. Now, it wasn't me. I want you to know that, okay? However, the speeder immediately reached into his pocket and retrieved paperwork with the seal from the U.S. Secretary of State. The driver was an ambassador from a foreign country and therefore immune under the law. Frustrated, the officer had to let him go. That afternoon, at another location, this same policeman clocked another speeder going 93 in a 55-mile-an-hour zone. It was the same man. The diplomat rudely announced that he had no intention of keeping the law. The officer radioed in, but was told again that there was nothing he could do. As he handed back the papers to the man, he said, the policeman told this man, even though you aren't subject to our laws, you could at least have some regard for the safety of our people. Even though as sons and daughters of God, we are set free from the weight of all the laws of the old covenant, it doesn't give us the right nor an excuse to be lawless and to jeopardize others in the process.
Amen.
Amen. Here's a statement from pastor author Max Anders. "Freedom in Christ doesn't give us the right to do as we please, but the power and ability to do as we ought." Did you hear that, folks? Freedom gives us the power and ability to do as we ought. Amen? What a powerful truth. One that we should continually live by. Amen? Because our true spiritual freedom is such a precious possession, it is our responsibility to endeavor to live our lives in holiness, purity, and righteousness. And not because we're trying to earn God's approval and love, but because we already have His approval and love. That's why Jesus died. Amen? That's why He set us free. That's why He set us free to enjoy. Amen? Here's another comment by Jerry Bridges. "God never intended that we relate to Him directly. Our own performance is never good enough to be acceptable to Him. The only way we can relate to God is through the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ."
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So secondly, true freedom is a precious possession.
Yes.
A precious possession that we have. Hallelujah. What a blessing to be a free citizen of the United States of America. What a blessing. Our being able to worship here today without fear of persecution or retaliation or imprisonment is just one of the tremendous benefits you and I enjoy as Americans. Amen. And it is a benefit. I was about to go stir crazy when we were stuck at the house for four or five weeks there without church. This is a benefit, folks, a precious benefit. But what is even more glorious and wonderful is that we are spiritually free in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Spiritually free. Freedom. Freedom. What a precious possession. Not because we've earned it or deserve it, but because of God's amazing grace. True freedom given to us by God's grace. True freedom given to us because of God's love. True freedom given to us for our enjoyment. True freedom given to us for God's glory.
Hallelujah.
Get lost in your freedom, folks. Let it move your heart into deeper and deeper expressions of authentic worship, thanking the Lord for that. Thank you, Father, for the gifts of freedom that you have provided, and help us, Lord God, to strengthen our resolve and our commitment to honor you with a holy life. Amen? A holy life. Saints, I'm sure there's someone you know that needs to hear the message about the freedom you've experienced through Jesus Christ. Tell them the truth so that they too can be free. Mike Foster wrote a book that I really have enjoyed. It's called People of a Second Chance. These are his thoughts. We forget that Jesus didn't die just to save us from our sins. He came to raise us up to a brand new life.
Hallelujah.
Amen. A life free from worry, fear, shame, and condemnation. A life where God's power lives in us and works through us in all things. Somewhere along the line, we have lost sight of what freedom is. What is freedom? Is it the ability to do whatever we want? Or is it the ability to become who we truly desire to be? The scriptures put it brilliantly, he says, in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13, out of the message, it is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Amen. Let's stand together and start shouting, "I'm free." Amen. Bonnie's going to come and lead us in another song. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
I'm free.
Thank you. I'm free.
I'm free.
I'm free. Hallelujah.
Free.
It's free indeed. Amen. Glory to God.
Enjoyed that message, Pastor. Spoke to my heart. My goodness, how blessed we are. These kind of days always get me choked up when I think of what could be and what is. Oh, hallelujah. Joy.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage. age where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on.
Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for your freedom that you paid the price for. Thank you, Lord, that you set us free. Free to be everything you want us to be, Lord. Lord, bless your people.
Hallelujah.
Go with them. Give them words to speak this week. And Lord, lead them where you want them to be. And I give you the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless y'all. Love you.